Hello, and welcome to the BPI's podcast on carbon footprinting and carbon emissions. My name's Steve Walker from the BPIF, and my experience in this area is having run the BPIF's Climate Change Levy Reduction Scheme since it started back in 2001. I also sit on the board of the European online carbon footprinting tool, ClimateCal, and give general advice on energy and carbon matters to BPIF members. The aim of today's podcast is to give you a brief overview of the jargon involved, of the methods available for you to measure your carbon footprint or emissions, to point you in the direction of where to find additional information, and hopefully to simplify the whole subject. The first bit of jargon we need to talk about is emissions. What does emissions mean? Well, in the printing industry, the majority of emissions aren't caused by the company itself. There's no great pool of emissions hovering over our sites. Unlike other industries such as chemicals, emissions are caused through our own use of energy and the products and raw materials that we use. And yes, measuring your carbon footprint or measuring your emissions is exactly the same thing. One thing that is certain is that the topic has never been more current, and the pandemic seems to have shot interest through the roof. However, it's not just that we've all had more time to navel gaze and wonder what we're doing to the planet. The government has committed to setting a net zero carbon target by 2050, and it has also introduced SECA, the Streamlined Energy and Carbon Reporting Regulations, which require those companies with more than 250 employees to report on their emissions and environmental performance. And of course, there's also good old David Attenborough, and those companies striving to appeal to public opinion using their environmental credentials. The surprising thing in this arena is that for most companies, particularly within the printing industry, there's no requirement to report their emissions or environmental performance at all. Large companies have SECA and also ESOS, where they are required to undertake an energy survey every 5 years. But for the majority of companies out there, under 250 employees, there's nothing at all, regulatory-wise. So all the pressure that we're seeing from companies to report on their emissions is coming from customers and those environmentally aware companies who are trying to get ahead of the curve. Unfortunately, however, there are many companies out there who don't really understand what's been required of them and subsequently what they require of the printing industry and are therefore just peddling the same jargon that's required of them, in a sort of tick box exercise. However, with a bit of research, it is possible to demystify the subject area, and by knowing a little bit about it, even to educate your customers about what they do require. The UK government produces a very useful guide on environmental reporting, and this in turn leans heavily on the International Greenhouse Gas Protocol. And it's this protocol that provides the basis for most governments' thinking in this area. The protocol splits emissions into three scopes. Scope one are direct emissions caused by the company. In general, this includes gas and refrigerant, as well as fuel used by company-owned vehicles. Scope two are indirect emissions, but caused by the company activity on site, which in general is electricity consumption. Scope three is the biggie, and that's all other emissions, those relating to the downstream and upstream supply chain. And of course, in the printing industry, the main component of this is paper. In fact, ClimateCalc puts paper at between 50 to 80% of a printing company's carbon footprint. But scope three also includes all other consumables, inks, plates, IPA, varnishes, water. It also includes commuting, hotel use, air flights. Basically, it's everything else that isn't in scope one and scope two. So as you can see from that brief description, it's not too difficult to measure scope one, as it's your gas consumption and company vehicle mileage, something you would ordinarily monitor. And scope two is even easier, as it's simply electricity. The problem comes when trying to measure scope three. Fortunately, while the Greenhouse Gas Protocol and SECA recommend companies report all three scopes, they only actually insist on reporting scopes one and scopes two. So you can get by only reporting those two scopes, scope one and two, basically gas, mileage, and electricity. The question here, however, is do you simply want to report the minimum, or do you want to try and bolster your environmental credentials by adding in some of scope three? Particularly in our industry, where the main scope three is paper, and that is such a large part of the carbon footprint of any printing company. Can you afford to ignore such a large part of your carbon footprint? The real question, however, I suppose, given that only large companies with more than 250 employees are required to report at all, is what are your customers asking for? If they're asking you to report scope three, it doesn't matter what the regulation states, you will need to report scope three. So the first thing to understand before you undertake any measuring at all is what you've been asked to provide. Or what is it you want to provide? Do you need or want to cover all scopes? Or do you want or need to provide a carbon footprint for an individual product? Because there are products out there that will allow you to do that. Once you've decided that, then it's the case of measuring your consumption and converting that consumption into tons of CO2. Handily, the government provides an annual list of greenhouse gas emissions factors. And although it looks pretty daunting, it's worth spending some time trying to get your head around it, as it's these very factors that all those companies out there offering you carbon footprinting services will be using. This is particularly the case if you're only measuring scopes one and scope two. There is emissions factor for gas, there's emissions factor for electricity, there are emissions factors for different cars. So it's just a case of multiplying your measurements by those factors. Why pay somebody a fortune to do that for you? Scope three is a little more complicated. However, the government doesn't produce figures for all of a company's scope three emissions. It includes paper, transport, freight, water, refrigerant, air travel and hotels, and paper recycling. But it doesn't cover other print consumables such as plates, inks, IPAs and varnishes. If you used the government's greenhouse gas emissions factors to cover all scopes one, scopes two, and scope three, according to Intergraph, you will be covering round about 85% of your emissions. If you were only to look at scopes one and scopes two, this would cover only 24% of a printing company's emissions. So as the emissions factors exist for paper, why not use them? The process for getting the figures is pretty simple. Multiply the kilowatt hours of energy or the mileage of cars or the kilograms of material by the appropriate emissions factors that are published for that year, and then you'll have the tons of CO2 for those elements. Add all those elements together, and then you have a carbon footprint for your site. And as we say, if you're using scopes one, scopes two, and scope three from the government's greenhouse gas emissions factors, that would cover 85% of your emissions. In order to make this a little simpler, the BPRF has produced a one-page template taking all the common emissions factors. It doesn't cover everything that you can find in the government's figures, but it covers the most common ones. And this Intergraph would state would cover round about 80% of a printing company's emissions. BPRF will be publishing that on their website very soon. So who's to say how much of your emissions you should try and cover? Should it be 85%? Is that enough? Is 80% enough? The Greenhouse Gas Protocol and SECA both recommend measuring scope three, but they don't state how much of scope three you should try and cover. They recommend you should try and that you should cover as many as practicable. You could argue that it's impractical to cover any that aren't covered in the UK government's greenhouse gas emissions factors. The nearest we have to an indication of the coverage that's been looked for is the British Standards Institute. And this sets down an emissions percentage of 95% for those companies who wish to claim they are planning to go carbon neutral. This can be found in the publicly available standard 2060. And this is quite a tall order. However, Climate Calc, developed by members of Intergraph in conjunction with the BPIF, has been verified by SGS to cover 95% of a printing company's emissions. Climate Calc comes in two forms: standard, which requires you to input data for all of your activity, and basic, which uses industry averages and worst case data, and only requires a company to input 5 pieces of information: electricity and gas consumption, paper purchased and paper recycled, and number of employees. As the basic form uses worst case data, it's likely to give you a higher figure, but it's easy to use and enables you to provide a customer with a carbon footprint for each product supplied, simply by inputting the tons of paper used and the distance to the customer. The second regulation suggests that a company's figures are verified by a third party, although they don't insist. But Climate Calc provides a desk-based audit conducted by the BPIF, enabling a site to comply with those regulations. And the BPIF would also order any figures that you have you've measured by using other carbon footprinting methods. So there are a number of ways a company can go about producing a figure for its emissions or carbon footprint. And it all depends on what your customers want and what regulations you're required to follow if you are a larger company. But it all starts with measuring your activity and then converting that activity into tons of CO2. Using accepted emission standards. And the BPIF can point you in the right direction of how to measure and where to find those standards. And as mentioned, there will be a template on the BPIF website. So once you have your figure, you could rightly ask the question, what does it actually mean? Particularly as paper is the major part of the footprint for any printing company. All the higher carbon footprint means for a company is a higher paper usage in general. It is therefore useful to express your footprint as a ratio to something else, such as employee numbers or turnover or tons of paper. And that gives you a better chance of improving the figure, particularly if the company is growing. The SECA regulations actually insist that you provide what they call an intensity ratio, although they don't define what you express it as a percentage of. There is an advantage to having paper as play such an important part of the carbon footprint. And that is that, particularly with Climate Calc, which allows you to calculate a product footprint, you can use papers with lower carbon footprint. So you could offer your customers a job at one carbon footprint or at another carbon footprint. And if the paper is carbon neutral when purchased, well, that will slash the carbon footprint of a job significantly. One thing I haven't really touched on is offsetting those emissions. It's not something that I'm finding many companies are being asked to do at the moment, but it's certainly something that companies are looking to look at. We want to be carbon neutral. And as I've said, the BSI PAS 2060 states the conditions upon which the British Standards Institute would agree that you were carbon neutral. And for offsetting those emissions, you have to buy carbon offsets equal to the emissions that you have produced, that you have just measured, from projects that have been verified by third parties. And it's certainly worth checking before you decide which scheme to adopt, whether those schemes have been verified to allow you to become carbon neutral. One thing that is certain is that although the price of offsetting can vary considerably from £8 a tonne up to any amount, the thing that's certain is that that will only go one way. As this becomes more and more of an issue, the price of offsetting will be more and more expensive. I hope this quick guide and gallop through carbon footprinting has done a little to demystify the subject. But I'm only at the end of a phone or email if you wish to discuss this further. You will find further links in the email and on the BPI website to the Greenhouse Gas Protocol, the UK government's environmental reporting guidelines, and the latest UK greenhouse gas emissions factors, which are all you really need to do this yourself. If you want to contact me, just drop me an email. I've been Steve Walker from the BPIF, and thanks for listening. Bye.